The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation. Let me tell you something, G, don't be out here talking about a click. Only click you need to know about is the Harley and Sister Sharon. See, because what you're dealing with here is the brotherhood. It's nonstop from this point on. And WCW, we take what we want. And after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of The Dark Match. It's your host, Don DeLorente, along with Miss Simi. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing good. Just, you know, doing my hair, talking about wrestling.
Multitasking.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've come to that time of the year, that annual tradition in AEW Memorial Day weekend, where it's time for Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
Before the world got crazy, this was supposed to take place at the MGM in Las Vegas, but it has been reshuffled to now take place here at Daily's Place in Jacksonville. So we'll preview the matches. I guess we'll do like we do on the WrestleCast. We'll play a little Who You Got, even though it's just the two of us. So first off, we have the buy-in, which will be the pre-show. We have a number one contenders tag team match as Private Party, newly signed Private Party, go up against the Best Friends.
Ooh.
Miss Simi, who you got?
Oh, no. Oh, no. This is a good one for my heart. God damn it. I have Best Friends.
Okay.
Even though I love Private Party, but I have Best Friends.
This is a tough one because Best Friends have been winning a lot, but Private Party are like newly signed. So,
right.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with Best Friends as well, just because they've been kind of on a roll here lately. Next up, in a match that we just got on the this week's Dynamite that we'll review how it came about, Dustin Rhodes versus Sean Spears. So, Miss Simi, who you got?
I got Sean Spears. I think maybe this might be Dustin's like retirement match or something.
Yeah, I've got Sean Spears as well. They really need to start trying to heat him up and get him in a prominent spot here, you know, in the heel lineup. So definitely go with Sean Spears there. In a match that may or may not take place now after Saturday, after this week's AEW. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, is scheduled to face Chris Statlander. Dr. Britt Baker got her knee injured in the match we're going to review in a little bit. So this match may not take place.
Oh, no. Why is she always getting hurt? God damn it. She's like the Finn Balor says Johnny Gargano of goddamn AEW. No. Brittany, get it together.
Well, this one was cheap.
It wasn't her fault. I think it was, I don't know what happened.
Well, we'll talk about it when we get into the review. But if this match takes place, who you got?
Yeah. I have Britt.
I do too.
Yeah. I got my evil doctor if she can compete.
And another match that is going to tear at your heartstrings. AEW Women's Championship match, Nyla Rose defending against Sheeta, and this is a no disqualification match.
They want me to suffer. Like, what? I don't know. I just want everybody to have fun. I got Nyla, because I don't think she's going to lose it on her. Like, this is her first for real one. Like, she had it with, what was it? Who did she defend it against first? It was Chris. Against Chris, right?
Chris Statlander, yep.
Yeah, I think she's going to retain.
Okay.
Even though I love my girl Sheeta, I think she's going to retain this time around.
All right. Our next matchup, we see MJF going against Jungle Boy.
I got Jungle Boy. I always got Jungle Boy. That's my man.
I'm going to go with MJF. He's undefeated this year in AEW, and I see that streak continuing.
If he wins, it's going to be shenanigans, but I'm still going to go with Jungle Boy, the winner in my heart.
the 9-man casino ladder match for a future world championship title match is going to consist of Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, Frankie Kazarian, Luchasaurus, Kip Sabian, Scorpio Sky, and the 9th man is a mystery. So, who you got?
I got Darby Allin.
Darby Allin. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a very good choice. Shoot. I'm going to take a flyer and I'm going to take the mystery man.
Ah. Well, who could it be for the mystery man?
I don't know. That's the reason why I'm going to take him.
Wow. Kind of cheating, Don.
I think the match that a lot of people are going to be buying this pay-per-view for, the Inner Circle versus the Elite. Yes. Inside TAA Bank Stadium, the Stadium Stampede match. Miss Simi, who you got?
I got the Inner Circle.
Hmm.
I think the Matt and Adam thing is going to cost them like it did the other times. I have Inner Circle.
Hmm. Okay. That's very, very in-depth. I'm going to go with the Elite. I think that they've been taking a lot of L's leading up to this. And I think that even though they don't seem to be on the same page, I think they're going to find a way to come out on top here. For the TNT, inaugural TNT title match, Cody versus Lance Archer.
This is going to Cody. I feel it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Cody's getting this one.
Yeah, I think he's going to help. He's going to win this one, too, just because it's going to, you know, give him a title since he
can't
compete for the actual heavyweight title as long as Moxley has it. So, or actually, he can't compete for it at all because, you know, the edict he made. So,
everybody else breaks promises. Break your promise, Cody. Let's go.
Next up, our main event, maybe, of the night for the AEW title, John Moxley versus Mr. Brody Lee.
Well, John Moxley is whooping that ass. I got my man, Mox. That's who I got.
Yeah, I'm going to go with John Moxley as well. I see a, you know, long title run for John Moxley, and I don't see him getting ousted off of the title run right here.
No.
So that is Double or Nothing for the preview. On Saturday night, use the hashtag AllEliteCast. And you'll be able to share your commentary with color with us. I will be watching by alternative means. So
I will be at work being sad. Watch for me, my darlings. Watch for me.
Now it's time to talk about the actual go home show of AEW Dynamite this week. So we see a long black limo pull up, Chris Jericho in the Inner Circle. Jericho gets out and tells Alex Marvez to shut his ass. you know, we've got the whole squad here, Jake, Sammy, Santana, and Ortiz. Santana and Ortiz steals my man's jewelry. And they say basically that they've got something in plan for the Elite later on tonight. And then we start with the Join the Dark Order.com ad. Then out comes Brody Lee with the AEW title and his cohorts. Lee, he has the mic. He wants to take a moment of our time to address the viewers at home, his eyes to ours. He wishes the crowd would be quiet because adults are speaking. They're heckling his ass.
That was hilarious.
Somebody was like, "You stole the title."
Yeah. Go home, Lee. I was just like, this is amazing. They're like, are we going to be audience members today? I loved it.
He tells 10 to take a knee. He then corrects 10's bad posture, then says there may be a disconnect between him and we, because he is a powerful supreme athlete in the prime time of his career, at the top of his game, and he cannot relate to us at home. He says we're wrong though. He sweats, he puts his pants on the same way, and he assures us he cannot walk on water. It may be hard to fathom, but he is no god. He is a man who has come into possession with a very, very special piece. The difference with the Dark Order of then and now is that he operates at a higher level, an elite level, and they are the lions of AEW, and the results speak for themselves. He says come Saturday, he must win, not only to satisfy his hunger or desire, but to pay off the loyalty and the love of his followers. He tells 10 that he is now a high knight of the Dark Order, and he tells him to go hurt Jon Moxley.
So. I thought maybe he would like take off his mask. I was just like, oh, will we see who he is? Nope.
I
got a mask.
So Jon Moxley versus 10. John grabs 10 by the head and sets up for a gut style pile driver. Moxley looks around for Brody Lee. He's pointing at 10 and asking him if he's his favorite little special boy. John then grabs the head. He locks up. He hits the paradigm shift. And Jon Moxley gets the win over 10.
Over and out.
Yeah, 10 got a little bit of offense in. She got the show a little bit.
But no cigar. Sorry.
Right. Moxley heads outside the ring. He grabs two chairs and rolls back in the ring and traps 10's arm in one of the chairs. He holds the other in his hand and he grabs a mic, saying he doesn't know if there's an attempt to seize power or to take over of some sort. He says he's not going to chase Brody Lee around all night. Instead, he's going to give Brody 10 seconds to come out and give him the belt and correct this mistake, or he's going to break 10's arm. He mocks 10, and then he starts the countdown. Brody Lee appears on the screen. He tells Moxley to listen. He doesn't call the shots. John has made his bed, and Saturday, Lee will put him to sleep in it. If he wanted the belt back, all he had to do was ask. Now it was just them two on Saturday. He means business, and John made this personal. At a time like this, we all have to make sacrifices. So for tonight, he's taking the belt, and he's leaving.
Obviously, he don't care that much about you, 10.
John smacks the chair that is holding 10's arm with the other chair, breaking the arm of 10.
Well, and what do you mean he has to ask for it back? It's his belt, Brody. He won it. give the man back his property. Yes. Thief.
Marco Stunt versus MJF with Wardlow. Marco hits the ropes. He dives, but MJF lands a hard right hand. MJF locks the head. He hits a double underhook shoulder breaker. Then he locks on the Salt of the Earth or the Fujiwara armbar. And Marco Stunt has to tap.
I told you guys in the hashtag to put a prayer up for Marco. Obviously, you didn't because he got broken.
Well, not as bad as he got broken in some other matches, though.
That's true, but goddamn. I was just like, go. Little Marco. He tried, though.
Yeah, he did. Feisty. He is feisty. You got to give him credit for being a fighter. MJF tells Marco that everyone is really proud of him, lasting longer than anyone thought. MJF wants to give him a present. Maybe a kiss from one of his rats, but then he remembers that no one would ever touch his lips. Since he's such the salt of the earth, though, Marco can kiss the ring, and MJF hits him with a hard right hand on, you know, the AEW ring hand.
Yeah. MJF is disrespectful.
Well, after that punch lands, out comes Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. Luchasaurus gets in the face of Wardlow as both he and MJF leave the ring.
Yeah, we still need to get that Luchasaurus versus Wardlow match.
It's coming.
Tease it every time. And I'm like, I want to see it. Smash him by that man bun, Luchasaurus.
Jake Roberts is here. We're ready to have the sit down between him and Arn Anderson. Tony Schiavone is in the ring standing. While Arn comes down, him and Jake get seated. Jake speaks first, saying Cody will have to come face to face with the truth. And the truth is that Lance Archer is a mean son of a bitch that will rip his damn heart out. By the way, was this Arn's weekend pass from the home? Jake says he's looking kind of thick. Well, Aaron says he almost believed Jake. Almost. Two guys sitting here. For him, this is surreal. This has been on everybody's wish list. A dream match. Jake and Arn. He's got to have serious goosebumps. They are two guys who, if said a piss ant can pull a freight train, people would believe them. He feels evil permeating here. He used to fear Jake. The snake in the bag. Then he realized back then that the snake was just a distraction. What they all needed to worry about was what was in his eyes, that heart, that evil. Jake says he's been to hell and back, so one more trip with Arn wouldn't be so bad. Arn wants Jake to repeat it. Jake says anytime, any place, just like Lance Archer. As much as Arn would love to, he's demanding decorum. Part of what he wants to cover is that Iron Mike Tyson's coming out of retirement, and he has spoken to Tony to present the title to the champion. Arn has some words for Jake, though. He says that Tyson will have free reign. He can do anything he wants, and Arn is honored to share the floor with him. He's got a question for Jake. Is he going to toss that stupid snake on Mike Tyson? Jake says whatever he throws at Tyson, it would take him down. He promised Lance that he gets the first shot at Tyson. Jake says that Lance can mock him. Jake says that Lance can knock Mike Tyson out for fun. He calls Brandy a bimbo and then says he'd like to bump into her again. Arn says Cody looked him in the eye and said he doesn't want to win this championship to get a nice table at a restaurant, a pay raise, or admiration. No, he has to win this because he's not just Dusty Rhodes' son. He's not just Dustin's brother. He's one of the leaders. He has turned this business on its head and has made it the product that it is. His leadership is recognized because he earned it. Arn has one more bit of info. Otherwise, he'd hop over this table and attack. He wonders if everyone knows that Jake is doing DDP yoga. Good, because he wants Jake to be limber when he spine busters Jake's ass and slams his head where the sun don't shine. Woo! Jake gets up, turns over the table. It looks like they're going to have a ruckus, but the refs come out and separate the two veterans.
Woo, I wanted to see these old white men fight. I was like, let them fight.
If we could have got this 25 years ago, it would have been a hell of a match.
Woo! Talking all this shit. I was like, yes, old white man, do it. Fight. This was an enjoyable segment to me.
it was the selling point of the whole program for me when they announced it last week. I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to that. They're going to talk some shit. It's going to be good.
Talk shit, they did.
We come back from commercial to a video package of Pac. He's laughing, then he's not laughing. He goes full Iron Man 3 Mandarin, and he cuts a promo about how Orange Cassidy is doomed against Rey Fénix in their match coming up.
I was excited to see my evil elf back. I missed him.
Cassidy and the best friends come out. Orange hits us with his thumbs up. Fénix tries for that flying Mortal Kombat kid to kick again, but Orange Cassidy dodges it, so we start our match. Fénix lands a splash, chopped to the chest. He sets up for a muscle buster. He spins, he drops, but Orange Cassidy gets a roll up for a near fall. The high kick to the face is missed. Fénix hops over. Orange drops him on his head. He pins, and he gets another two count. Kip Sabian comes out to ringside with this huge ladder. He sets it up, he heads to the top of it, and he just sits down on it, and he's watching the match. Well, Orange Cassidy is distracted. There's a low blow by Fénix, who rolls through. He hits a cutter, and he gets the pin, and Fénix is your winner.
This was a good match. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, Orange Cassidy, when he gets serious and really got to throw down, he can wrestle his ass off.
He got it.
Out comes SCU. They tip Sabian off the ladder. In comes Jimmy Havoc to attack SCU. The four men wrestle it out on the outside until Fénix sees the man and decides to do like a double jump.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was like. It wasn't a moonsault, but it was just kind of like a, I don't know what it was, but it didn't, he landed short. He didn't get far enough out. Mm-hmm. And then, like, he landed squat on his shoulder.
Yeah. It's so, like, man, you're crazy.
Yeah, so while all the people are recovering on the ground, out of nowhere, Colt Cabana hits an Asai moonsault off the middle ropes onto the rest of everybody who was standing out there who had gotten back up after Ray Phoenix had knocked them all down. So
this was a damn battle of the guys.
Yeah, this was crazy. It's not over because out come the best friends, and they're here to help launch Orange Cassidy to the outside. He knocks down everybody. Orange Cassidy then gets back in the ring, and he stands tall in the middle of the ring with the best friends.
I love this. I was just like, oh my God, everybody's diving. Where did Colt come from? Because all of a sudden, I just saw him just fly. I was just like, where were you?
Yeah, he was in the, I think he jumped the rail.
Okay. I was like, how did you get here?
Yeah, Colt. It's crazy. Chris Statlander and Sheeta, the team that I dub Thick and Thicker, versus Britt Baker and Nyla Rose. Before the match can start, Sheeta goes on the attack of Nyla Rose and her kendo stick. Chris takes over and sends Nyla to the ground. Then her and Sheeta send Britt Baker into the ropes. Baker holds on and rolls to the outside. Sheeta goes after Nyla, and then we get the bell. Well, Britt Baker don't want no part to this match, so she's like being reluctant to tag in on the outside. But eventually she gets back in, and we, you know, get a tag team match established. Sheeta starts to fight back with numerous punches. She then hits the ropes and gets a clothesline from Nyla. We get attacked to Chris, and she comes in with the cover. At this point, the medical team is checking out Britt Baker. So what happened was they got Britt Baker down in like the corner. So she's knocked down in the corner. So then they double team Nyla Rose, and Chris Statlander and Sheeta pick her up on their shoulders together. Then they run and they do like a Death Valley driver. So basically it becomes Nyla Rose giving Britt Baker a cannonball in this corner.
Yeah. Well, that's where it happened.
Yeah. Well, Britt Baker kind of, she doesn't have her legs straight out. She kind of has her legs kind of up. And when they throw Nyla onto her, they throw her right on her knee. And so
that's where it happened.
Yeah. And so once they throw on her knee, you know, she immediately starts like grabbing at her knee, and then Chris Statlander grabs her by both legs and pulls her out of the corner to pin her. And so when she uses that knee, that leg to like, you know, hook the leg.
Yeah.
So Britt Baker's like holding her knee while Chris Statlander's trying to pin that leg. She kicks out, and then immediately Britt Baker starts like holding her knee, trying to roll into the corner.
Yeah.
And then that's the part where Nyla gets in the ring, beats him up, and then drags Britt Baker to the corner so she can tag.
Yeah.
Him.
That's
where that comes in at.
Cause like I was like, please let this be storyline. Please let this be storyline.
No, it's not. She's hurt.
Dang.
I don't know how bad she's hurt, but she's hurt.
Dang. Cause I really enjoyed this match.
It looks like, I don't know what they were going for. It looks like Sheeta was trying to do like, you know how like you do like a tombstone reversal?
Yeah.
But Nyla got off balance and like collapsed on top of her, and it caused a pin for a two count. Nyla does like a bridge to escape. Then she gets the beast bomb to Sheeta, and she gets the pin for the three. They basically had to change this match on the fly because once Britt Baker went down, everything got screwed up. So,
yeah, they still really pulled it off though because I still really enjoyed it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Nyla grabs the table on the outside. She sits it up in the ring as Sheeta is laid out nearby. Nyla sets up the table, then puts Sheeta on it. Nyla heads to the top rope. That's when Chris Statlander attacks Nyla. Sheeta gets up off the table. She runs up the corner, locks the head of Nyla. She sets up for the superplex, and boom, she hits it. Nyla crashes through the table. Chris runs into the ring to check on our buddy Sheeta, who is okay, and they leave together.
What a spot.
Yeah.
I was just like, shit!
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
There is a lot to happen in this match.
Mm-hmm. It's so much. I was just like, oh no, there's so many things happening.
Yeah, you usually don't see a champion pin the challenger in a match before they wrestle.
Yeah.
In a big title match, but you got that here.
Yeah.
And maybe that was just something that just had to happen on the fly due to the way the match, you know.
Yeah, probably.
Fell apart there with Britt getting hurt, but so that was very interesting. Then to see that big spot with the power, the superplex through the table.
Yeah.
Table just going everywhere. Nyla Rose laid out. Oh, very, very strong image heading into their match.
Right. Gonna fuel some anger. John, I like it.
Moxley's getting interviewed backstage. He says, in business, sports, and life, everything is a reduction to violence eventually. He gives some examples and says it only gets worse from here. He says on Saturday, it's going to be pretty bad. 280 pounds flipped upside down and dropped on his dome is enough to knock out a rhino. Moxley says when Brody wakes up on Saturday, he'll realize he has nothing but a suit and a bunch of dudes and get masks to help his bruised ego.
Not get masks.
Sean Spears has a new news network, and he agrees with Dustin that he should retire. He says, yes, it's a tough pill for Dustin to swallow, but he brings up how easy it was for Dustin to swallow pills a few years ago. That's a low blow. Gosh.
That was rude. I was like, that's rude.
Spears says the fact that he doesn't have a match this Saturday is just a travesty. Who does he have to piss off to get a match? Maybe he should just go into business for himself. So he challenges Dustin Rhodes. The people expect it and demand it, so now they have to book it and promote it. If you're looking for Dustin, you could probably find him on display at your nearest museum.
Wow.
So I guess this is his new gimmick now.
Mm-hmm.
His little,
I don't mind it.
It's like CNN Don Lemon news anchor type.
Yeah.
Time for the main event. Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara. Matt removes Sammy Guevara's boot. He starts biting the toes of Sammy. The ref tries to stop him. Sammy flies out of the corner with the knee to the face. He covers for a two count. Sammy's on the apron. Matt stands. We get a springboard into a cutter and another pin for another two count. Sammy goes to the top rope. He goes for a shooting star press, but Matt gets his knees up. We get an inside cradle by Matt. That gets a two count. He follows that up with the twist of fate. He pins Sammy Guevara, and he gets the three count.
Yay, but I'm tired of my Sammy losing.
Yeah, unfortunately, they sent him out there to be the guy who takes – he's the fall guy for the Inner Circle right now. I guess they figure that, you know, he's so entertaining, his matches are so good that they can continue to beat him and he can continue to come back from it. But, yeah, eventually he's going to have to get some wins. In right. These high-profile situations, just so he can maintain some type of credibility.
Right. Like, he can't. You can't keep doing my man like this, okay? Right. He needs to win something.
Right. On the screen, we see Chris Jericho and Jack Hager. They've got Kenny Omega tied to the goalpost at the football stadium. They do that old football thing where they tie to the goalpost and they throw buckets of water on you.
Yeah.
Matt leaves the ring. He rushes through the stands as Jericho hits Omega in the gut with the baseball bat. Jericho tees up to just finish Kenny Omega. And that's when the Young Bucks appear.
Yay! Bucks of youth!
They fly out of the stands. They attack Hager and Santana and Ortiz. Hager tries to fight back. The Bucks are just too much. Jericho comes to help, and they're getting the upper hand. And then here comes Matt. To even the odds, Ortiz gets the bat. He attacks Matt. Nick flies from the left to attack Jericho. Santana helps Jericho stomp him out. And then from the goalpost of the other end of the stadium, mm-hmm. a curly-haired, dirty blind man is running. You just see this little dot, like, what is that in the background? Yeah. And then he gets to about the 50-yard line, and you're like, oh, shit, yeah. It's Hangman Page.
They should have had freaking Who's just playing in the background as he was running. That would have been perfect. Just put that in the background and he's coming.
Adam Page heads straight for Jericho, sending him into the goalpost. Now the babyfaces are in total control. Omega tosses a trash can at the Inner Circle who are retreating. The Young Bucks and Omega pose with Matt Hardy on the in the end zone that is painted out the Elite as Hangman Page. walks up the ramp, leaving them behind in the background.
Continuity. Yes, I love that.
Yes, this was awesome to see Adam Page come and make that save from, like I said, he ran about a 110-yard dash to get there. And then he continues with the story, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm here. I did what I needed to do, but I still don't fuck with y'all like that.
Yeah. I was like, come on. You better give me storyline progression. I love it.
So that was your go-home edition of AEW heading into Double or Nothing this Saturday starting. I think it starts at 7 for the pre-show. Check it out through pay-per-view or alternative means. Use the hashtag AllEliteCast to share your commentary with color with me and everybody that is in the live tweet that follows this podcast and the WrestleCast. So, Miss Simi, is there anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up this edition of the Dark Match?
This is a great go-home show. I hope Britt gets better in time for Saturday and the knee is not too hurt, because I really want to see that match, and I'm just, I don't want her to keep getting hurt.
Yeah, me either. It seems like every time she's in a big spot like this, mm-hmm. bad things happen to her.
Right.
I mean, it's from just like the very beginning.
Right. It's like, what's her face? The dark haired girl. What is her name? Oh, I can't remember.
What dark haired girl? The one who
was, she was just like, what is her name? She was just like a Harley Quinn kind of thing. Like, kind of
AEW?
Like a, yeah.
B. Priestley?
Yes. Oh my God. Her name would not come to me. I think she hurt her too. She gave her a concussion or something.
Yeah, that was the very first match, like, in AEW.
Yeah, it's just like, God damn.
She got hit in the nose by Sheeta, broke her nose. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, ay, ay, ay. Because I want more for her. I want her to just stop getting hurt. Because she's so good.
And she's like, getting better.
Right. Like, each week, she's getting so much better. And it's just like, I want you to be here. Please be here.
Exactly. Exactly. So, looking forward to Double or Nothing. Should be a lot of fun. And we'll see how things transpire. Very interested to see what Mike Tyson does.
Right.
In this capacity. And how they're going to use him. So, should be a lot of fun on Saturday night. Miss Simi, at this point, give your shout outs and thank yous to the listeners.
Shout out to you, as always. Shout out to Miss Dee Dee and the rest of the CSPN family. Shout out to the listeners. Love you guys.
You can find The Dark Match each and every week by becoming a patron over on our Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Sign up for the $3 or $5 tier, and you will get these episodes each and every week as we review AEW Dynamite and everything that goes on with AEW. And sometimes you'll get the pre and post conversations to the podcast that we have as well. So please support the podcast by becoming a patron over on our Patreon page, and we will talk to y'all next week.